Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider the important subject of stewardship, the things given to us to take care of, and this is part 4, our concluding session. But first, let's pray. O God, would you prepare our hearts to accept your word? Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 1 to 9, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.'" Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and always. This is our final look at the very important aspect of our Christian role as stewards, as those delegated by God with the task of wisely and responsibly managing the things entrusted to our care. This is, of course, humankind's responsibility given by God at the very beginning of creation. But as a church today, we must recover the role of being good stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. This we have discussed to some extent in our previous sessions, and in part 4 we will have a slightly different focus. Broadly speaking, one may think of one's stewardship in terms of time, talent, and treasure. We did touch a bit on talents or abilities last week, and it goes without saying that whenever we serve God in any way, it takes time from our lives, time that is precious, from the things we may be busy with, whether in the church or in any other endeavor we may be involved in. We should bear in mind that our time is very important to God also, and He calls us to serve Him with it as well. This leaves us with the area of treasure, which we will explore briefly, as it is the focus of our text. The word treasure is in the Gospels a reference to money, and this can be seen in the parable that Jesus tells his disciples. So let's turn our attention to our reading now. This parable is for the benefit of the disciples. But to understand the parable, it is important to separate the parable from Jesus' comments about it. While there are a variety of views on this rather strange story, it is fairly widely thought that the parable itself ends at the first part of verse 8. That is, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. This means that the manager or steward was commended for his forethought, which was clearly for the sake of self-preservation. At least two views on his actions are held. Some think that the manager had perhaps reduced the bills by subtracting his own commission, in which case he would not have been dishonest, simply very clever. Others think that he permitted his master's debtors to falsify the amounts owed, and this view seems to be more likely the case. This brings us to the balance of verse 8, which is as follows. "For the people of this world," said Jesus, "are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light," leaving us to scratch our heads, since we may think we operate in the wisdom of God. The truth is that many Christians are quite naive when dealing with things in this world. Now, if this is Jesus' commentary on the parable, which seems to be the case, then the lesson is that people of the world demonstrate an astuteness or sharpness which children of the light can certainly learn. But the question is, what astuteness or sharpness could Jesus possibly be referring to? In verse 9, Jesus provides the answer. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Again, we are left scratching our heads because this is not so straightforward as it seems. So what is Jesus saying here? The most biblically sound meaning is this. Just like the manager, who happened to be dishonest in this story, used money to secure his future, we also need to use our possessions, but not in a dishonest way, so as to gain our future reward with God. To put it another way, as God's people or children of the light, we are to use our worldly wealth for the sake of the kingdom of God, so that when our worldly wealth is no longer of any help to us, in the next life that is, God will receive us into his presence or welcome us into eternal dwellings, no doubt to say, well done, good and faithful servant. The thing is this, in almost every possible way that we can conceive of, possessions or wealth come into play when it comes to doing something which is intended to meet a need or to help in some way as a matter of stewardship. Whatever we do involves resources, which finally boils down to the use of money. And money, the currency of life on this planet, is the one thing that Jesus specifically placed in opposition to God as a false god. Of course, many other things can occupy that space, but on an everyday basis, money is the one thing that can come between us and God, because whenever we engage in any activity or consider a need, the question will be, am I willing to spend my riches on this? Everything requires money. And this brings us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, where Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus makes this concluding statement because there may be times where we find ourselves acting and making decisions only on the basis of finances without engaging our faith. That is why there needs to be singleness of mind, with good eyes full of light guiding them. And so, in being good stewards or caretakers, we are called to have a radically different view on treasure. Our earthly treasure can either be used to make life comfortable for ourselves only whilst here on earth, or it can be employed for God's purposes as we are led by the Spirit, and in this way we store up treasures in heaven. The implication is this: let's not live like this is the only life we have. And from the Matthew 6 reading, we discover that there is one fundamental thing that takes place every time we are fully invested in God's work or God's kingdom. Our hearts are there. Why? Because we have placed our treasure there. And this can be true of many other ways we may invest ourselves. Now, as we draw to an end, what is it that we are finally to understand of the stewardship of our treasures? First, God is no man's debtor. We cannot outgive God. Second, we are called to avoid a mentality of self-preservation and instead to move towards a mentality of generosity and of pleasing God as good managers of his gifts. Third, when it comes to offering our treasures in the context of the church, it needs to be done regularly as a planned act of faith. Finally, our caretaking calls for faithfulness, just like the men in the parable of the talents. The challenge is for us to develop a Bible-based understanding of how to do it well, not how we think it should look like. Here, then, are a few sayings for us to ponder. We cannot serve God and mammon, but we can serve God with mammon. Secondly, use the talents you possess. The woods would be silent if only the birds sang that sing the best. And finally, those who inherit wealth are paid in advance for the service they are expected to render to mankind. And so may God help us to acquit ourselves as faithful stewards of the things he has given us to take care of. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, giver of life and source of freedom, we know that all we have is received from your hand. We know, Lord, that you call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us, we pray, to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously and faithfully in everything that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.